Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening to you, the listeners of 11.9 High FM as well as 91.9. Thank you very much for joining us on this installment of Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm delighted once again to share this space and time with you as we celebrate women. I'm sure you'll agree with me that when I say celebrating women is an important and meaningful way to recognize their contribution, achievements, and resilience, of course, throughout the country. And I'm also quite sure that you'll agree with me when I say, you know, poverty in this country has the gender and racial face, and women obviously at the forefront of poverty, which obviously affect them and disproportionately. And I suppose in the same token, it is important that we from time to time look at how women are making strides and how best we can support them, especially in the entrepreneurship space, because we all know that when you look at the representation of women in government, I mean, government have made a significant inroads in bringing about gender equity. But when you look at private sector, there's still more work that needs to be done. Which makes entrepreneurship as the window in which you could really bring about a big change by focusing on the kind of work or business enterprises which are being led by women. Before we engage with issues that is going to do with the entrepreneurship on the side of women. I mean, I'll be joined later by Daisy Moleka, who is the founder of Rebetri Academy. He will also be joined by Musa Wenkosi, who is the mentee. And before we get to the gist of those kind of conversation, let me do the basics. Allow me to thank Michael McKenna and his Overdrive team. Michael, thank you very much for doing a stunning work. Michael, we'll be back on your radio tomorrow at the same time. While we're at it, let's also thank Betsy, who's assumed the technical producer of the show. Betsy, thank you very much for organizing our guest tonight. I also want to thank Craig Guthrie, who is the owner controller. Thank you very much, sir, for doing a stellar work. I must also, obviously, give you kudos from that end. As we move along, if you miss any of our previous show, not to worry. Simply go to High FM website and look at Beyond Mentorship podcast and pull out any of those podcasts. And we're quite keen to hear from you. Our SM line is 34519. The Telegram is 061-895-1019. And of course, your thoughts and views are most welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. Before we get into, again, the gist of the conversation of rabbit farming, I just quickly wanted to weigh in on the glorious Paris Olympics that came to an end on Sunday. And we've noted that a number of African countries participated in the spectacle, and which means obviously we have what it takes to become globally competitive. Perhaps maybe the point that I want to put forward is the readiness of the continent. And I'm sure you must have picked up throughout various media outlets that South Africa wants to bid for 2028 Olympics. And I certainly think we've got what it takes, given what we've done in the past. But the issue that I really want that I want to raise, particularly from the media perspective, is how we often shoot ourselves on the foot and expect to be competitive. We all know that crime is an issue in this country. Granted, well, I suppose what I'm trying to say, we can't all become, you know, prophets of doom by making reference to crime. We all know crime is there, but it doesn't mean that it cannot be addressed. It doesn't mean that we cannot put our best foot our best foot forward in terms of wanting to compete at a global stage. You know, it is very important that how you and I posture a position in the country. We cannot be the ones that pull it down. I mean, if you and I pull the country down, how are we expecting the international bodies that oversee this kind of arrangement, you know, to be pushing or advocating for the continent to assume its rightful position? It is important that we're quite mindful. I'm not saying be obviously looking at the whole issue without necessarily understanding what are the downside. Crime, like as I've put it earlier, it is an issue to be reckoned with, but be that as it may, it does not mean we cannot and we should not promote the continent, let alone South Africa, to host this beautiful spectacle. Anyway, that was my 2 cents worth of point when it comes to how we need to reflect very deeply on how we articulate our views vis-a-vis the countries, let alone the continent, hosting this spectacle. Anyway, moving forward, let me take this opportunity to welcome Daisy, who is a founder of Rabbitry Academy, as well as Musa Wenkosi, whom I believe are already online. Good evening, colleagues, and welcome to Beyond Mentorship.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining us. Let me start with Daisy. I mean, obviously, you are a trailblazer. I have not come across many entrepreneur in this particular space. And just take us through what informed the thinking, let alone the application of your thought with Rabbitry.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you to listeners who are listening today. The reason why I came into this industry, very scarce industry, it's because my doctor advised me to actually eat the rabbit meat, specifically the rabbit meat, because he said I must eat white meat. But he specifically recommended the rabbit meat. And I was like, where will I get this meat? You know? And I had to do research for almost 2 decades to check the markets, to check how to farm them, to check what are the health benefits. All those things, I did a lot of research work on them before I can actually say I will train farmers who will be supplying us with rabbits, you know. So we came up with the model that we cover the whole value chain in rabbit farming. We will do the breeding, we will do the cage making, the hardware, where farmers will get all the equipment that they need in our hardware. And then we came up with the feed formation. We came up with the leather processing. We did a whole lot of research to cover the whole value chain, including the meat processing, where we will process the rabbit meat into your Viennas, your Poloni, your Vors. And a lot of people, they love Vors. So, yeah. And it gave birth to also the cookbook that we have that actually educate or teaches people how to cook or help them on how to cook the rabbit meat. So, yeah, the research went on and on. I'm not stopping to do research because every now and then when I meet with my clients or new clients, I got to research on something new, especially on rabbits. So the reason why I'm still on rabbits and only focusing on rabbits only, it's because there's a whole lot of stuff that are surrounding the rabbit meat or the rabbit itself, the rabbit farming, because we also sell the urine and the poo, which is your fertilizer and manure.
Talk of value chain, my goodness, this is quite interesting. Maybe let's just pause for the second because you've given us enough food for thought. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll kick off with the value chain because we want to obviously get to know more and more on because the listener who could be interested in the rabbit farming could obviously have to understand the entire value chain. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod. You've just literally started our interesting conversation. I'm joined by Daisy Moleko, who is the founder of Rabbit Tree Academy, as well as Musa Winkosi, who's a mentee from that particular program. And before we took that break, we got a very interesting insight on a very unique sector of the economy, which is rabbit farming. And I'm quite pleased to hear how articulate Daisy is in when it comes to the issues that they express. First and foremost, if you are interested in rabbit farming, Daisy is your person. Please listen or give us your thoughts, your views. If you want any question for me to take, put it to Daisy. Our SMS line is 3419. The Telegram is 061-895-1019. Whatever question that you have about rabbit farming, Daisy is your person. I'm sure she'll be quite keen to give you a proper explanation on the ins and out on a very interesting sector. Daisy, before you took that short break, interestingly, you covered a very broad spectrum of the value chain, which obviously it's a market on itself, you know, because you're not just only doing a breeding, you're also doing leather processing, you also do meat processing. My goodness, Viennas. I'm yet to come across a Viennas that are made out of rabbit. You know, I'm yet to eat rabbit meat, which is quite fascinating. I can't wait. So, how big is the market? First and foremost, let's talk, how big is the market? Because that also is an incentive for a would-be entrepreneur to pursue rabbit farming. How big is this market?
Okay, the market is quite big. You know, every time when I'm on radio, being interviewed about the rabbit meat industry or the rabbit meat farming, after the interview, I will receive like up to 500 calls, you know, people asking, where do we get the meat? We do supply the meat. We do use different platforms where we supply the meat. And the market is so huge that you won't believe it. A lot of people, they want rabbit meat. And on our side, we started to work with restaurants where they will serve the rabbit meat. We're also in the process of franchising our own restaurant, which is, it serves only rabbit meat, you know. Quite a lot of people, they want the meat, but they don't know where to get the meat. The market is so big that when we do our trainings, we buy back from our farmers. We make sure that we service the market through the network of our farmers, where we buy back and we resell to our market. We have an online store. And we're also on different e-commerce platforms where we sell the meat.
Yes, interesting. Interesting stuff. Let me just bring in Musa Winkosi here because I'm sure he's got obviously views to share based on the fact that he's your mentee. Before he comes in, how did you identify Musa Winkosi as a potential projecte for rabbit farming?
Okay, I met with Musa Winkosi online on Facebook. He was doing rabbit farming, but he was not doing farming them correctly. I had to call him and communicate with him and show him the right way of farming the rabbits for commercial or for human consumption. Because a lot of farmers, they confuse rabbit farming with a hobby, where you will get a free-range farmers, and then they will tell you that they want to supply. Whereas there's a lot of testing that needs to the meat to go through. So with Musa, it was like we have a program that we call Rabbit Tree Renovations, where we will assist you to move from being not a well-organized farmer into a commercial farmer, where we change your setup and all those things. That's how I met with him. And he's a very keen guy. He loves rabbit. I saw the passion when he posted his work to say, this guy needs my help. That's when I started to introduce him to our programs and our workshops, our training, and he's doing well up to the level that he is the best farmer for us in KZN. He's the only one who can do what I'm doing in Gauteng, in Mpumalanga, anywhere in the country. So he's keen to learn, and he learns every day. And he will even go to other farmers and show them how to do things. Very soon he will be our mentor. He will graduate being a mentee to a mentor.
My goodness, in my next life, I want to have somebody who just speaks fondly about me like that. Musa Nkosi, I'm sure you know how fortunate you are to have the caliber of the caliber of Daisy in your corner.
Yes, good evening, Craig. I feel blessed to have come across to cross paths with Mom Daisy, because she has helped me a lot. She has helped me a lot. I didn't even know that we could farm like rabbit commercially. Like, he has shown me a lot from what I was doing before, the way I was doing it, to what I'm doing now. There's a big improvement, and I can see that we're gonna go far with this rabbit farming, because I've got good mentor on my side.
No, I mean that's quite useful to hear, and I mean I couldn't agree with you more based on what Daisy has told us. But let me come back to Daisy.
Yes.
If I were known want to become a rabbit farmer, take me through the very basic. What size of the land am I looking for? What sort of infrastructure I'm looking for? Take us through the basic, so that the would-be entrepreneur also making some notes on what are the action steps that one needs to fail before they can approach you as an example.
Okay, I normally say, doctor. It's nice because I'm speaking to the doctor. You can't start a rabbit farming, start building before you actually learn, because you can't build a surgery before you go to school. I normally say that to them. So a lot of farmers, they make a mistake of building before. So the starting point will be attend our courses. We have short courses. We have commercial courses. They differ in packages. And then we have the backyard farmers, the small farmers. Like, I love training Abogogo to be part of the program, because it's meat, and it's a healthy meat for them as well. So you can start in your backyard, in a garage, in a double garage, under the carport. That's where you can start, because you'll start by learning. And then if you want to expand or to start in a farm, from 1 hectare to 10 hectares, it's big enough for you to start. Because when you build for rabbits, you don't build small, because they give out a lot of babies. So what do you need to do when you build? It's to build for growth, you know. So when we start the program with you, or the training, that's where we teach you how to build, what equipment do you need, what are necessary skills do you need in order for you to be a rabbit farmer. But the key important part is to learn. It's to study first and understand even the terminology, because there are lots of words that we are not familiar with if you are new in the rabbit industry. So, yeah.
I think this is a very useful point, because typically if you are an entrepreneur, first and foremost, it's about your knowledge of the product or service that you're providing to the market. Mm-hmm. You need to know the ins and outs of the product, because then it means you're able to respond to any questions about the product before you get into the structure, the infrastructure, and so on and so forth. So I think that's a very useful point for anybody to know that if you see yourself as a rabbit farmer, master the art, master the product, and then take it from there. Let me go back to Musa. Musa, and obviously you were a rabbit farmer before Sis Daisy met you, and obviously reoriented in terms of grounding you further so that you can become a successful entrepreneur. Where are you now in relation to where she found you?
Currently, I'm in a much better space than where I was before, because before I was farming, but I was just farming like as a hobby, and I didn't even know the breeds and all that. I was just farming like anybody who farms chickens, you know, like a backyard kind of a thing. And then when I met Mom Daisy, she has supported me like with most of the things that I needed, the cages, all the material that will make farming more professionally, like then the backyard that I was doing, because I was using wooden cages. Some of them were even like on a pen outside, because I was doing it as something that I didn't even know that. So we can sell meat and leather and fur and urine and manure and all this stuff. So now I'm in a state where I can be able to show people what I'm doing. Speak with other like farmers. They sometimes come and they buy the manure, they buy the urine. So I'm like, well, one or two step up from where I was before I met Mom Daisy. And I can see that we are going far with the setup that I have now and the passion that I have, because this thing, it needs you to have heart. It needs you to put in some work to push yourself to be better than what you were when you started. And if you got a good mentor and somebody who is clued up with what you are doing, like Mamti, she has like helped me a lot. And I can say that we're gonna go commercially, as the rapid meat is like still something that we're still introducing to more people. Even like people are used into eating chicken and beef, so it's like a learning curve that we're putting into other people as well.
And absolutely
it's easier now to tell people about rapid farming and rapid meat, because I've got somebody who's teaching me the right thing. I'm not telling people what I think. I'm telling people what I know from somebody who has dedicated time and money and everything into understanding the business.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, these are very interesting observations and insights that you're sharing with us. Let me go back to Daisy. Beg your pardon.
Okay.
Look, the value chain is quite very broad, and the breeding. What sort of rabbits are you breeding? Let's start there first, because I'm sure there are different types of rabbits. Yeah.
Yes. There are types of breeds, but I've tried all of them. They were not tasty as the New Zealand white. We are using the New Zealand white for the reasons that it's very tender. And the other thing is that the mothers, they know how to mother the babies. When it gives birth, it can give birth from 6 to 14 babies. It knows how to mother. And it will breastfeed and take care of the babies, you know. So that's the reason why we chose the New Zealand white. And the other thing with New Zealand white, it doesn't catch a lot of diseases quickly. You quickly have to identify if there's a problem with your rabbits. So, and they become attached to you when you're having your breeding stock, like your parent stock. They get used to you, they know you, they know the routine, and they know when they are pregnant, when they are ready to deliver. They have those senses. So it's easy to work with them.
So I mean, you say there's a New Zealand white. Obviously, I'm completely out of my depth here. What other breeding? Because obviously, take me through as if you're talking to someone who has absolutely no clue about, you know, different types of breeds. So obviously, your favorite one is New Zealand white, right?
Okay, there are also New Zealand red, Californian white, Italian white, chinchilla. There's a lot of breeds out there that a lot of people, they can choose, like your chinchilla, and then some they love the Californian white, you know. And then for me to say, let's go for New Zealand white, it's because through experience that they know how to mother. This other breed, for me, it was difficult to train them, because at the same time, when you, let's say the rabbit is pregnant and it becomes pregnant for 31 days, when it's ready to give birth, it will take out the fur on the body to make a bed for babies. So these other breeds, they wouldn't do that. And it will become a problem to me to normally say, to actually looking for fur from other mothers to share with them. And sometimes they will reject the babies when you do that. So they need their own fur. So with them, it's easy to work with them than the New Zealand red, the New Zealand black, the Californian white, the Italian white, the chinchillas, you know. So the New Zealand white, to me, they are easy to work with.
Fantastic. Look, I promise you, we are definitely more informed by the kind of support, you know. Technology can really mess you up.
Yes.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. Is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship, and I definitely want to apologize for the gremlins. You know, when you're having interesting conversations, okay. even in technology has jealous, you know, so technology had to creep in there and mess up a very interesting conversation. We do apologize for that gremlin that grabbed in. You know, you've given us a very interesting understanding of different breeds. You were saying to us the New Zealand white is a better breed compared to chinchilla, compared to Californian white and all these types of breeds. So obviously, from the perspective of the listener, this is obviously a beautiful lesson, a learning curve from everybody else. I mean, I know nothing about this type of business setup, but I'm certainly I'm quite intrigued by it. But the second natural question, anybody who obviously has been bitten by the bug of investing or contemplating to invest in rabbit farming is obviously is the cost. What would you say the startup cost would be when you want to start this, when you want to start, you want to start small?
Okay. When you want to start small, you can start between 90 and 150K, which will include a structure, cages, training, and rabbits. Because our training, normally we give out rabbits because we are avoiding farmers to use the wrong breeds. Because if you just train them and not giving them rabbits, they will do anything, you know. So it starts from 90K and upwards. And then it includes mentorship, it includes offtake agreement as well. And even the site visits, because once the farmer registered to our cost to say, I will want the package here, the 90K, we need to establish where the rabbit will be set up. We need to go and see the place. Sorry. We need to go and see the farm or the house, the place where the rabbit will be set up, and then to advise. Because the other thing is that most farmers, they will do it in mixed farming. And it will affect rabbits because other animals, they have different diseases, you know. And then, yeah, that's how we doing it. So, meaning that we giving you the training, it's very inclusive. Let me say it, inclusive, because you also have to come and do the intensive 3-day training in a rabbit tree setup, so that you can have an understanding and see how it looks like, the feel and touch.
Absolutely. This is obviously very useful an input that you sharing with us. You're looking at between 90,000 to 150,000 rand.
Yes.
This includes obviously the mentorship. It includes the uptake agreements, which I want to explore a little bit more. It also includes the training as well as the infrastructure that is a prerequisite. Uptake agreement, obviously, this is the fundamental of any business. So who are your, I suppose, the companies or organizations that would give you those kind of uptake agreements? Because when you look at the retail stores, not many retailers offer red meat, rabbit meat.
Okay. At present, we don't have retail stores that we're supplying. We forgot to mention that with Mosa, he's one of our rabbit meat distributors in KZN. We have distributors in different provinces, and then we also have the e-commerce platforms where we sell our meat. And then we also have restaurants and chefs that we supply with the meat. Because the meat, remember, the meat is premium. The meat, not everybody, it's accessible to them. So with us, we're cutting the middleman to say we'll have people who will go and supply restaurants. We're doing it ourselves. Restaurants, they buy directly from us. Abu Musa and other distributors, they buy directly from us. And then it gives them a comfort also to get more commission when selling the meat, you know. And then remember, it will be your first time eating rabbit vores, and then you will want to be supplied with rabbit vores on monthly basis. We have hampers that we sell through our rep distributors and through our online stores, you know.
Now, these are very interesting observations indeed. I'm quite, you should expect an uptake or maybe an expression of interest from meat. Because I grew up eating rabbit meat, but it was not this kind of, we used to eat the wild ones.
The wild ones.
And I'm sure these ones, they taste better. Which one tastes worse or better?
Yeah, they do taste better. The biggest mistake that I did when I started this business was to eat the hair, and to also eat the free range, the one that you traveling, you will hit it with your car. Mm-hmm. Those two ones, they nearly took my life. Sure. Because I didn't know my immune system doesn't go well with the meat, because. Okay. It has a lot of they eat everything on the ground. Mm-hmm. They are not managed. They are not farmed. Mm-hmm. So they can eat anything that they can reach, on the ground. So even on my side, when I educate people, I will tell them not to eat the hunted one or the free range or the hair, because you won't know. Especially with different types of different types of bloodlines.
Absolutely.
So I normally encourage them to eat this one, which is very soft, mm-hmm. which is it's nice, it's tasty, it's nice. Next time we will arrange if your studio is around Joburg, we will arrange and then I'll bring you the taste so that you can taste it and have a feel, this one that we're farming.
As they say, the taste is in the pudding or it's in the eating. So exactly. I'll take you on that offer. Bring it on. Let's see. But, but let's go back to Musa. Musa, you are, well, according to Sis Daisy, you are part of the distributor in KZN. Take us through the mechanic of being a distributor, because I'm sure if you're a distributor, there are quantities, and how you prepare this meat and how you distribute it. Take us through the entire system so that a listener who is keen in participating understand exactly what it takes to become a distributor. And so far, it's only KZN, not much in Gauteng, and not much in Limpopo, based on what I can see here. So this presents a huge opportunity, employment opportunity for anybody who is interested in rabbit farming to also look at the distribution aspects of it.
Yes. Mam Daisy is also like providing that opportunity for people to become distributors. And as a distributor, you need to have like people skills, because the rabbit meat is not like something that is commonly eaten amongst the black community. Like you said yourself, we grew up eating those wild rabbits. So now, if you're a that future, we have that opportunity to present something new, like to this younger generation that they only see the rappers on TV and they think it's a pet. So it's an opportunity to introduce the meat to them and to all people as well who know those rapists that were hunted in the bush. So when a distributor, we order the meat from Umamtezi because she's got that buyback where she buys from the rapists from the farmers and they slaughter them, and we buy it from. If you're a distributor, you get it as a discounted price, mm-hmm. so that you can also add and make profits. Mm-hmm. It is something that's it's doable, and people are interested in the meat. It's just that there aren't that many people who like. Mm-hmm. In that program now, currently, but we are in a process of educating. While you sell the meat,
we seem to have a bit of a connectivity problem.
Because now we've got that thing.
Well, Musa, I think the line is not the greatest. Maybe let me just quickly bring in Daisy here, who's the founder of Rabbit Tree Academy. On the business side of this very interesting sector, for one to become commercially viable, what sort of numbers are we looking at when I'm starting? You know, for me to have a successful and viable rabbit farm, what sort of quantities am I looking at?
Okay. Quantities for commercial level, it's about 340 rabbits in your rabbit tree setup. But a lot of people, because this is new to them, we start them with 20 rabbits, and then within a year, they will be at 280 rabbits, you know. So by the time it's 2 years, it will be on 340, because the 340, the output in terms of the meat that we get from the farmer, it's from 500 to 1,000 carcasses, to 1,000 rabbits for slaughter, because we also slaughter at a registered abattoir, you know. So, yeah, it's 340 to commercial level, but we start them small, moving to 340.
I mean, you've raised yet another important point around where these rabbits are going to be slaughtered, because if I'm a commercial farmer, does not mean then I can slaughter them in my backyard and begin to, you know, because obviously that's against the law. Mm-hmm. And besides, there's any health requirements which one needs to fulfill. So you said to us, firstly, I mean, you start off with 20 rabbits, of which given the reproductive capability of rabbits, 20 can give you 240 rabbits.
Yes, 280 towards the end of the year, yes. Because what we're trying to do and what we are educating the farmers on is to build your own breeding stock. You don't rush into slaughtering. Yes, we can slaughter few when you're building. But the most important thing is for you to have the 340, which is your parent stock. Then you know that with the 340, we are able to say this production cycle, we want to slaughter 500 to 1,000. We can get those numbers from you. And remember, I'm there to mentor and monitor them as well, because monitoring is key in this industry, because if a farmer, it's farming rabbit wrong, you are able to identify the problem quicker, because some they do interbreeding and crossbreeding, which we don't allow. And it will affect the quality of our meat, because remember, when we slaughter at an abattoir, the safe regulations, the food safety regulations, and then we also test our meat regularly if we think that this farmer is not doing the right thing. You know,
These are very interesting tips that you're sharing with us. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back as we gravitate towards the end of this beautiful show. There are additional inputs that I want you to share with the listener as when you come back.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. We're having a very interesting conversation with Daisy Moleko, who is the founder of Rabbitry Academy, as well as Musawenko Sikunu, who is the beneficiary of training imparted by Daisy. Before we took that break, Daisy gave us yet another interesting, thought-provoking, practical aspect on how to go about becoming a rabbit farmer. Before we took that break, he indicated to us that you can start off with 340 rabbits, and those 340 rabbits, and obviously they'll multiply at some point. But part of the process that you need to be aware of is that you cannot slaughter rabbits at your backyard. You can't slaughter them willy-nilly. Mm. There has to be a designated health-approved facility, like an abattoir, which obviously meet all the regulations, because we don't want to be feeding people stuff that don't make them sick. So that is a very important point. As we conclude, Daisy and Musawenko, what would you say are the cost drivers? Because when you can imagine, if I've got 340 rabbits and humping around the cage or whatever you call them.
So there are a lot of
cost drivers. I mean, I would imagine medicine is one of the cost driver. How do I make sure that I'm sufficiently equipped to cater for medical needs of my rabbits?
Okay. They are in cages, doctor. Let me correct you. Individually, so in their cages. And then during our trainings, we even teach our farmers how to make their own cages according to the standard measurement. And then coming back to your question, the medication, we don't actually give our rabbits medication unless there's a disease or a virus that is killing rabbits. That's when we take a precaution on medication. But I normally say prevention is better than cure. Keep your rabbit clean at all times. Even if you have to clean it two times or three times in a day, just keep it clean to keep away the diseases and a lot of bacteria, you know. And then also I normally say your rabbit is not a zoo. It's not a place where people come and look at the rabbits, because those people that are visiting, they can bring disease in your rabbit tree. And then all your rabbit will die, you know. So rabbits are not difficult they are not expensive to take care or to farm, because when we feed them, we feed them the same feed. They don't have the grower meal or grower pellets. They eat commercial pellets, and then we give them a bit of molasses. And then there's another product that was introduced to us. It's called Food Doctor. We give them that as well. So our rabbits, they grow naturally, and we don't force them to grow as well. And when you get to the 340, you gradually get into the 340. And when you get there, let's say you now have 1,000 rabbits, we will buy half of the rabbits or a certain number of rabbits so that you are able to buy feed and take care of your rabbits. And the other thing that keeping our farmers happy is that they sell the rabbit urine and the manure to us. Rabbit, they poo daily, they urinate every day. So we buy back as well from them. And some they sell around areas like Omosa, saying other people, they come and buy manure from him. So we advertise the rabbit manure, we branded it, and then we tested it as well. We are busy with getting the license to sell to grain farmers, because a rabbit urine is known as a foliar fertilizer and a pesticide. So a lot of farmers, they are looking for such a fertilizer. So it's a process for us to have those tests and other stuff to be tested. So yeah, it's when you learn and go through the training, you will learn a whole lot of things within this, because a lot of farmers on other commodities, they complain about the feed. We don't complain about the feed.
Because, of course, naturally, that's your one of your biggest cost driver, because the feed is expensive. Yes. Medicine is quite expensive. So these two big cost drivers are relatively low in your particular environment. Look, we unfortunately going to have to leave it here. This is a very interesting value proposition and very interesting sector, which is relatively known. I mean, most people don't know that you can grow rabbit and you can sell rabbits. You can, the value chain is quite amazing. I mean, who ever thought that you could sell urine and poo of rabbits? I mean, this is very interesting. How do people get a lot of you and to get more about what kind of service you're providing as we closing this very interesting conversation?
Okay, you mean in terms of our contact?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a Rabbitry Academy. It's www.rabbitryacademy.co.za. And then we have a WhatsApp line. It's not for calls, it's for WhatsApp. It's the same as you're using, like 081-788-7984.
Absolutely. Your party
and
short?
Then we have the social media. I normally say to people, if you are a farmer, use your social media for farming. Don't use it for social, you know. So mine is my name, Daisy Moleko. You can get a lot of information about rabbit farming. I only talk rabbits.
Absolutely. No, thank you very much, Daisy. And Muso Nkosi, your parting shot?
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mam Daisy and tell the other youth of South Africa that the rabbit farming is the future. This farm of rabbits.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that beautiful closing note. Daisy, thank you very much for coming through as well. And Ms. Nkosi, it has been absolutely a pleasure to have you. And I believe you've shared a very interesting and useful insight to up-and-coming entrepreneurs in rabbit farming.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll keep my promise. I'll bring you meat to taste.
Absolutely. There we go. That was Daisy Moleko, who is the founder of Rabbitry Academy. She was also joined by Muso Nkosi Xulu, who is the protege on rabbitry. So, I mean, we've heard how interesting rabbit farming is. We're now understanding how the entire value chain can become very profitable. So youth who are lingering around, who are looking for investment opportunities or to do something good about their life, don't say I didn't inform you. Rabbit farming is one of those prospects or one of those areas that you can certainly learn more and really make income out of it. Well, let's leave it from here. Let's leave it here. It has been an absolute pleasure having you have yourself a beautiful week ahead.